Our scripture lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, the first 7 verses. I didn't realize that you had the New International Version in your pew. I guess it's been a while since I've been here or something, or I don't know. But I have the ESV, so if you find a little difference, I apologize. It's my fault. Hear now the word of the living God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthy nor the foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may his blessing be upon it. Shall we pray? Lord, now take your feeble servant and use him to direct your people in the understanding of what this passage has to tell us, so that we may be a church of the people who walk in love. Teach us, that you may be glorified, that me may be obedient to you, and that we may rejoice and give thanks in your presence. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back in August, my wife and I went to the Western New York to visit my brother and couple of nephews who live out there. On our way back, we had to stay a couple of hours in Midway International Airport in Chicago. So I pulled up a chair next to the wall and sat there and watched the people. You like to watch people, do you? That people watching can be very, very interesting. Anyway, all these people were hurrying and scurrying to go from one gate to another. Some were stopping at the McDonald's across the way to get a little food. Others were just going full hell-bent for their gate because they were late, and there were others who were just sauntering along. There were the Hasidim Jews, you know, all dressed in black with a black hat and little curly cues coming down on either side of their place. There were Muslims, ladies in their dress with all their faces covered. There were businessmen, and they were in their, of course, their suits and carrying their briefcases, and they were very stiff-looking kind of when they went their way. Well, most of the people were on vacation, and so they were dressed in T-shirts and shorts and flip-flops. I remember one man in particular who had his suitcase, and he was dragging on his left hand and hanging on to a little child and urging him along because they were late to get to their gate. And oh, that child didn't want to go so fast as his father wanted to go, and all the kids wanted behind them, they wanted to go. They were just, you know, in a tizzy. Very interesting. when you sit there for 2 hours, you realize that there are a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures that go through the city of Chicago. But did you notice from the psalm that we read this morning and from the scriptures that the scriptures don't recognize that there are a lot of different people, but there are only two kinds of people? There are the righteous and the unrighteous, the holy and the unholy, those who walk in the way of God and those who walk in the way of sinners, those who take the narrow way that leads to life and those who take the broad way that leads to destruction. Ultimately, no matter how we dress or what are we doing, that is the two kinds of people that are in this world. Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, the Jew and the Gentile. Yes, it's important that we recognize that, because the chief duty that we have as Christians is to walk in the way of the Lord. That is to distinguish us, to show us as being different from all other peoples. Not that we're Americans, not that we are culturally all dressed up here this morning, or that and rest of the time we dress differently. No, that doesn't matter. What matters is that we are indeed God's people as distinct from the people of this world. And in this passage, Paul tells us that we must walk in love. In so doing, we must first of all imitate God, and then secondly, we must not be idolaters and worship other gods. Now, it's very interesting, in the book of Ephesians, this idea of walking is predominantly found there. In the short letter that we have before us, we have the idea of walking used 6 times. The first time is found back in chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." You're dead, but you're walking. That describes, you see, the majority of people that are in the world. Interesting combination, isn't it? How can you be dead and walking? Are you a zombie? Well, yeah, they talk about zombies today, but it isn't that kind of a zombie. These are people who are breathing and who are dressing themselves and who are working and doing all kinds of things, but they're dead in their sins, because they will not have life to go to be, live and be with God in his kingdom. But they're still walking as long as they're here, as long as the body holds up. Yes, some die young, some die older. And some of us are still around. Unbelievably. but by nature, you see, we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. Well, we're told in verse 4 that God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. The only way that you escape death is by God giving you life. He does so out of the abundance of his mercy and his love for you. So as a result, you are a new creation. You are alive. You share the life with God. You are already, as it goes on to say, transported into the heavens. There is no question about whether you're going to live or die. You are going to live because God is at work in your life. He has caused you to be born from above, as John tells us. And we must remember, according to verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By nature, we're dead. By nature, we walk in our sins. But by God's grace, it is he who has caused us to be new. It is he who has caused us to have life in Christ. It is he who is working in us so that we can walk in good works. See the progression? Very important that we see that progression. Because we can try all we like to be righteous. We can try all we like to do good works. We can try all we like to love somebody else, but in and of ourselves we can't. We can only love because God first loved us. Therefore, he goes on to say that we are to walk worthy of our calling, according to chapter 4, verse 1. And according to verse 17 of that same chapter, we are no longer to walk as the Gentiles walk. And then he comes to this apex, you see, where he tells us here at the beginning of chapter 5 that we are to walk in love. How do we do that? God is the one who works in us to enable us, but what are we supposed to do? Well, notice what it says. Be imitators of God. Now, wait a minute. How do you imitate God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Are you infinite, eternal, or unchangeable? Of course not. Those are characteristics of God. He is the creator. We are the creature. We don't have those characteristics. How are we then to imitate God? Well, it's implied in what he continues to say. As beloved children, as children who have been loved by God. In other words, it's his love that we are to imitate. God is love. And he goes on to say that it is particularly love found in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's the way we do it. Jesus Christ is the expression of God's love to us. And he came to this earth in that love. He suffered all of the ignominies that men threw at him. And finally, the great ignominy of being hung on a cross. God hanging on a cross, the supreme punishment for crime in the Roman Empire. And he did that for us. But God saw it as what? A fragrant offering. That's how it was in God's sight. a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Well, in the Old Testament, they had burnt offerings, didn't they? They bled the animal, they skinned the animal, and then they cooked it until it was burned up. Have you ever burned anything on the stove, ladies? Do you know how it smells? Is it a fragrant offering? No, I have often smelled it in my study, thanks to my good wife. Yes. No. No, it's not a fragrant offering. And a body that's hung on a cross, and a body that comes down and is decaying, that isn't either, is it? But it is in God's eyes. Why? Because it's an expression of love. God's love to us and his son being willing to give his life for that cause in obedience to God the Father. Yes. Yes, that's what it is. Therefore, it's a fragrant offering. And so we are to do the same. Give our life as a sacrifice. As Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice. In that way, we show our love to God. You have to do it. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love, John tells us. You don't know God if you don't love. What a catastrophe the church is. The church that is bickering and having problems all the time and isn't loving those who are there. Oh, and you see it all the time. You know, we all come very nice and we're all dressed up and we all sit next to each other and we say, hello, how are you? Aren't you nice? It's nice to have you with us. And then underneath we're saying, that miserable so-and-so. You can't do it. You can't do it because God is love. We must imitate God in that we love. As Jesus said, greater love has no man than this. Then he lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus said to those around him, you are my friend. You see, we have to do the same. We've been given an example. We must imitate God. We must not walk in anger or hatred. We must walk in love. That's exactly what's involved in being a Christian. Yeah. Pharisees would say, you got to obey those laws. You got to do this, do this. You got to do everything your parents tell you to do. You got to do everything that God tells you to do. No. Now, remember what Jesus said about the Ten Commandments. When that Pharisee came up to him and told him, which is the greatest, Lord? Greatest of the commandments. Of course, they had 613 of them as they counted them in the Old Testament. And he's saying, now, do we have to keep them all? Or what do you say? He's trying to hang him, trying to catch him, you see. And Jesus says, you shall love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first and that's the second greatest commandment. You see? Outward conformity to the commandments, as the Pharisees were teaching, is not showing the love of God. And God is love. Has to be inside. Your attitude, your keeping of commandments must come from in our hearts. And that requires love. Other people in the world about you will say, hey, buck up. There's a whole lot of problems around, a whole lot of difficulties, nothing you can do about it. Just buck up. Oh, no. We have to love. Love those people that we don't really like all that well. You know, somebody you don't like particularly, they rub you the wrong way. And when they're around, and when they start opening their mouth, you cringe. Huh? You know, you got to love them. Someone who's your enemy, you got to love, says Jesus. And not only that, your supreme love must be for those who are God's people, with whom you are sitting here this morning. Yes, that is what we have to do, and what we can do, because God is at work in us. He enables us to change from being zombies, dead in our sins, to being alive in Christ. And through that new life that God has given us, we can love. Don't tell me you can't. It's that you don't want to. You're not very happy about loving some people. Street people, take for instance. You don't maybe have so much trouble out here in Oak Harbor, do you? But down in Seattle and Everett, certain streets you walk down and there's street people there. You love them? We have two of them in our church now because somebody loved them. Somebody took it, went, helped them. We have a fellow in our church who's head of the men's shelter at the Everett Gospel Mission. He's helped them all the time. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go down to and be part of the gospel mission. But we do have to love. Remember when Jesus became the Messiah, when he first announced that he was the Messiah in his home church in the synagogue? Remember what he said? He quoted Isaiah 61. He said, he had come to give good news to the poor. He singles out the poor who will hear good news. Liberty to captives. Why are people captives? Yet they'll have liberty. Sight to the blind. Freedom to those who are oppressed. Salvation to those who are lost. You see, those are the ones that God is concerned about. People who are in trouble. And we tend to avoid people who are in trouble. We like it nice and calm and smooth and easy and comfortable. Well, we'll talk about that more this evening. That is, if you're going to come tonight at 6 o'clock. Okay. All right. We have to imitate God, but we must not be idolaters. He says, Paul does in verse 3, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, holy ones. You're holy ones. And what's going on in the culture around them, the Greek culture and the culture of the Roman Empire, was awful. There was sexual immorality. The sexual life of man and woman is to be found in marriage. a man and a woman. And if they then wander, have a wandering eye, and engage in sexual intercourse with someone else, who, if they're single, it's fornication. If they're married, it's adultery. He says, that cannot be among you as members of the church. That's idolatry. You see, you're using this wonderful gift that God has given to the church. A gift whereby two become one. A gift whereby children are born. You're using that gift in an idolatrous way. You want to please yourself. And that's wrong. And that's not even to be considered, named in the church. Likewise, uncleanness. All uncleanness, he says. All uncleanness. Well, there are all kinds of varieties of uncleanness out there. And he's not talking about those unclean animals of the Old Testament. He's talking about uncleanness of heart and mind. One, there's only one that Paul identifies as being unclean, and that's homosexuality. In Romans 1, verse 24, he says that the homosexuality is uncleanness, and uncleanness is in the Bible most often linked with sexual immorality. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Uncleanness is anything that is a violation of God's holiness. And because you're holy ones, it's not to be there. Plus covetousness. You know, I go by the malls up there very often. Can't help it, they're everywhere. Up there in Seattle. And, because it's down there, isn't it, from here? And the parking lots are so full of cars, you can't even find a place to park. You see, we are a generation that is so embracing things that we haven't really spent the time that we should on other things that are important. We want to satisfy ourselves. Again, idolatry. We want a lot of things about us. We want have a lot of wonderful, expensive meals and make us feel good in the stomach and all the other things, you know. You see, it's idolatry. And the people of God, if they're going to walk in love, have to not be concerned about always satisfying their own needs. That's worshiping themselves. Whereas they're supposed to worship God, and as he loves even those who are poor and miserable and sick and sorrowing, so we must do the same. Well, he doesn't limit idolatry to that. But in verse 4, he says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talking or crude joking, which are out of place. Instead, thanksgiving. You see, if your mind is on God, you don't want to participate, men, with all these guys that are always having these, you know, bad, crude, sexual jokes that they tell. That doesn't befit a Christian. Yes, not only that, but foolish talking. Huh? just stupid things you talk about. You think about all the stupid things that are mentioned and become centers of conversation. And that's not to be for us. Or double entendres, as the third one is. Crude joking, as translated here. You see, what are we supposed to do? Well, if you are concentrating on God and His love to you, and His love specifically in Jesus Christ to you, then what do you do? What is to characterize your life? Not all that. What's to characterize your life is thanksgiving. If you are God-centered and if you are imitating Him, then it is that you give thanks for all that He has done for you. You don't complain. You don't object to all those lousy people who are making your life difficult. You keep your eyes upon Jesus. And as you do so, you're thankful. God loves you. God has given you life. He's given you hope. He's given you a marvelous new kingdom to come. That's what's to characterize you. And thus, you walk in love, you see. And it's important. For he goes on to say, for you must may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or God. You've been to those funerals where the guy was miserable and nasty, he was a drunkard and philanderer, and he's going to heaven. The minister stands there in bold voice and says, that you'll see him again with the Lord. Nonsense. Absolute, pure nonsense. We have to be warned, as Paul warns us. If you don't walk in love, then you are not going to be with God forever. It's as simple as that. Furthermore, he goes on to say, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There is going to be a judgment. There is. And those who walk in hatred and in self-satisfaction are not going to be with Christ. That's what God says. And we must take it to heart. We must not be deceived. Furthermore, he tells us that we're not to be sharers in their sins. Yeah. Well, are you ready to walk in love? Yeah. Remember, there are only two kinds of people. The righteous and the unrighteous. The holy and the unholy. Those who go the way of the narrow road. Those who go the way of the broad road. Those who walk in love. And those who don't. Amen. Lord, oh, how we thank you for your love for us. We don't deserve it, Lord. We often turn back to our sins and, like the dog to its vomit. But, Lord, We want to love. We want to walk in love. We want to serve you. And we pray this morning that you will so pour out your love upon us and so impress us with your love that we will do that very thing. And by your power and by your grace, we know it can be done. May we, Lord, be strong in the might of Christ Jesus, that we may resist the temptations of the evil one and walk in your ways, in your love. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.